Going to go ahead and turn to Psalm 25 as we look into the Word of God this morning. Thank you for your patience as we try to make sure that everything is working right here on Zoom. And if you've sent me a text message, I'm sorry I cannot read it right now. It kind of messes up what I'm doing here. So if you've turned in your Bibles to Psalm 25, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 in just a second. And then we're also going to read Isaiah 40, verse 31, these two passages, which will especially be the foundation for the message this morning. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 5. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Then Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. A wonderful promise in God's word that I hope you've memorized. If you have been attending our morning services lately, you may recall that we have been focusing our study on a series of messages on true discipleship. I've been preaching three messages on that theme, and today I'd like to share with you another lesson in true discipleship, the discipline of waiting. While reading Acts chapter 1, verse 4, the Holy Spirit drew my attention to the command given by the Lord Jesus Christ to his apostles during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And it reads this way: gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. While reading this verse, I thought of how difficult it is for us to wait for things. Adults, no less than children, find this hard. As I searched through the Bible, I was amazed to find how many times the scriptures teach the importance of waiting. I'm sure you noticed the three examples already in the three scripture passages we read a moment ago. We need to practice waiting on the Lord for answers to prayer. We need to practice waiting on the Lord for relief from afflictions and trouble. We need to practice waiting on the Lord for seeing the fulfillment of his promises. I'd like to pose three questions to you this morning, which will form the major outline points of our study. The first question we need to answer is, why do we need to practice the discipline of waiting? Actually, the short answer is simply because our Lord said so. That should be enough to motivate us to do it, but the Lord makes it clear that all his commands have a good purpose. So let's look at some additional reasons why we need to practice the discipline of waiting. First of all, you need to practice the discipline of waiting because you can't see the future. You can't see around the bends in the road of life. Just like when driving a car down an unfamiliar farm country road at night, if you don't wait for the correct turn, you will take the wrong road. and experience the dangers, discomforts, and delays of landing in a plowed field. Secondly, you need to practice the discipline of waiting because if you don't wait for the Lord's timing, you will miss an important lesson. It's like leaving a class early before the teacher has finished giving his lesson. Thirdly, you need to practice the discipline of waiting because if you don't wait for the Lord's timing, you will miss the blessing he had in store for you. It's like taking the bread out of the oven too soon. The bread you end up with is nowhere near the delicious product that was intended by the one who made the recipe. I've tasted bread that got out of the oven too soon, and it was like chewing on chewing gum and was not nearly what I wanted to feel or taste. Fourthly, you need to practice the discipline of waiting because if you don't wait for the Lord's timing, you may reap lasting bitter fruit. Just as Abraham and Sarah learned too late back in the book of Genesis, Scripture records in Genesis 16 that Sarah, who was childless, tried to get a child by way of a surrogate through having her slave Hagar marry Abraham. That way she could claim Hagar's child as hers. In fact, if you want to, you can turn with me to Genesis 16 and read verses 1 through 3 as I read it aloud for us. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, remember that was her name before God changed it to Sarah. So now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai, or Sarai, as they would say in Hebrew, said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. That union did indeed produce a child, Ishmael. However, apparently, Hagar's success in having a son and her resulting superior attitude towards Sarah caused so much trouble in the family that Abraham, at God's command, sent Hagar and Ishmael away into a desert, where Ishmael eventually became the father of a nation, fulfilling God's prophecy to Hagar at the time she and her son were sent away. In fact, if your Bible is still open in Genesis chapter 17, verse 20 reads this way: "As for Ishmael or Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." So Ishmael's descendants eventually formed the Arabic Muslim nations. Yes, because Abraham and Sarah didn't wait for the Lord's timing, they reaped lasting bitter fruit. Even today, the descendants of Israel and Ishmael are at each other's throats in the Middle East. So we've answered the first question. Why do we need to practice the discipline of waiting? With four reasons. Let me review those. Because you can't see the future, only God can. Number two, because if you don't wait for the Lord's timing, you will miss an important lesson. Number three, because if you don't wait for the Lord's timing, you will miss the blessing he had in store for you. And number four, because if you don't wait for the Lord's timing, you may reap lasting bitter fruit. This brings us to the second major question. What are the characteristics of biblical waiting? First of all, waiting means to wait with trust. In the New Testament, the Greek word anameno means to wait with patience and trust. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait, anameno, for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." You cannot wait on the Lord or wait for God's promise to be fulfilled unless you trust Him. If you find yourself unable to wait, it reveals the fact that you have not learned to trust Him. Trust toward God means firm belief in His love, His wisdom, and His power, which leads you to a willing surrender to His will and a humble dependence on Him. Secondly, biblical waiting means to wait with patient commitment and eagerness. Another New Testament Greek word, apekdechomai, means to assiduously and patiently wait for. It has the idea of total commitment, implying that you will never give up until the goal is reached or the expected reward is received. This word is translated in the New American Standard Bible as two words, wait eagerly, as you can see in Romans chapter 8. In fact, why don't you turn there, Romans chapter 8? We're going to read verses 22 through 25. Romans chapter 8. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word kavah has the same emphasis of patience. We can see that in Psalm 27, verse 14. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I want you to see it with your eyes as I read it aloud. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Each time, it's the Hebrew word kavah. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, kavah, wait for the Lord, and he will save you. It means you don't give up and quit before God's promises are fulfilled. You keep trusting him and waiting, looking to him until he brings it to pass. Thirdly, biblical waiting sometimes means to patiently endure affliction while you wait. Waiting is never easy. Sometimes it is very hard. Would you turn with me to James chapter 5? James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 7 through 11 and then comment on them. James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. In verses 7 through 8 here, the expression be patient or being patient translates the Greek verb makrothumeo, to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. In verse 10, we find the noun form of this verb. In verse 7, the expression waits for translates the Greek word ekdechomai, which means to look for, wait for, expect. In verse 11, the verb endured, which I think in the King James version it's translated be patient or patient, translates the Greek verb hupameno, to patiently endure, remain, bear up bravely and calmly. Later on in the same verse, the noun endurance translates the Greek noun form hupamone, which means a patient, steadfast waiting for, endurance, perseverance. Fourthly, biblical waiting sometimes means to wait with eager expectancy. The Greek word prosdechomai means, in this context, to wait for, look for, expect. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we read, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, we read, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. In Jude verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. So remember, this Greek word, prosdechomai, translated here in these three verses, means to wait with eager expectancy. Then fifthly, biblical waiting sometimes means to wait with diligence. Keep in mind, however, that waiting on God never implies laziness, rather faithfulness. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we've answered the first question, why do we need to practice the discipline of waiting? We've also answered the second question, what are the characteristics of biblical waiting? As we looked at the various New Testament Greek words and Old Testament Hebrew words, we noticed several differences in nuances of meaning. The biblical waiting means to wait with trust, to wait with patient commitment and eagerness, to patiently endure affliction while you wait, to wait with eager expectancy, and to wait with diligence. And that brings us to our third and final major question. What are the rewards of biblical waiting? The first reward is a strengthened faith. In Luke chapter 18, in fact, why don't you turn there with me? Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. We read this. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection for my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God, who is a righteous judge, bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them?" What the Lord Jesus was teaching through this parable is that being forced to wait on the Lord is the only effective means to grow your faith. A faith that always and immediately receives an answer to your request is not a very strong faith. This is revealed by being forced to wait for an answer. A faith that has never been tested, never been forced to wait, is a weak faith. Because the first time there is a delay, all sorts of doubts arise in your heart. But having been forced to wait for an answer and eventually seeing God answer builds that faith stronger so that next time it is tested, you will remember that God did answer after the time of testing was complete. And now you have more strength to keep waiting for God to answer this time as well. The second reward of biblical waiting is to receive answers to prayer now and eventually fulfilled promises concerning the future. We just saw that in the parable of the widow and the unjust judge, and you can see it as well in the scripture passages that teach concerning Christ's second coming. The third reward of biblical waiting is Christ-like character. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. In fact, I'm going to look at three passages in the New Testament: Romans, and then 1 Timothy, and then 1 Peter. If you're very quick, then you can find them as I read them. I'll try to pause just enough time to give you time to turn to them. Romans 15, verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. And then 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Remember that the third reward of biblical waiting is Christ-like character, and you can see that in these two verses. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. It takes time for the Holy Spirit to do his transforming work in your heart and life, but his work is perfect and it is permanent. It is well worth the wait. Let him do his work in you. The fourth reward is Christ's wonderful words of approval. And I think you can remember this in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." I look forward longingly to hear these words from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope you too are looking forward to these words of approval. If you are, then you will make godly choices in your life to embrace what is good and godly and avoid what is wrong and harmful to your testimony and to your relationship with the Lord. The Lord could come today, or he could delay another 10 years or more. Are you committed to waiting patiently, faithfully, diligently, eagerly, and expectantly until you see him face to face? By God's grace, by his enablement, you can commit to and benefit from the discipline of waiting. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Just a minute, we'll close this message in a word of prayer. Before that, would you allow the Holy Spirit to use his word in your heart, especially concerning what we've studied this morning? Admittedly, this message has been especially geared toward truly born-again Christians. If you are not sure that you are truly saved, please contact me after the service so that I can show you from the Bible how to be saved from sin and hell. However, for those of you who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, let me ask some questions that could help you to respond to what God is showing you in this message. First of all, do you find yourself impatient at the delay you are experiencing in seeing an answer to your prayer? Number two, are you chafing at the affliction or trouble you are called on to bear? Number three, are you losing heart in the battle against your flesh, against Satan, against the pull of the world? If you honestly answered yes to any of these questions, will you confess your weakness to the Lord and ask for his all-sufficient grace to follow his example of patiently waiting for God's perfect time and God's perfect will to be done? When you do, you will be a true disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, I can't ask you to raise your hand or even in any other way indicate to me, but God can see your heart. Oh, listen, if the Lord speak in your heart, would you respond to him? Would you let him know that you will do what he's shown you in this message that you need to do to change, to start doing, or to quit doing? Let the Lord give you the grace, the enablement to do that for his glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we realize that this message was really geared toward those who are saved. But Lord, we always are aware of the fact that there could be someone who is not saved, who is listening to this message. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart in a special way. May they realize how important it is for them to take care of this right now, as soon as possible. May they contact me, or if they know of a born-again Christian that they can trust to show them from your word how to be saved. Lord, may you just move them to do that as soon as possible. Father, for those who are saved, I pray, Father, that they would answer these questions that were asked in the course of this message. I pray, Father, that they would understand better what you mean in your word when you call on us to wait on you. Lord, I pray that you would give us the patience, the joyful and calm endurance. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be filled with love for you, desire to do your will, confident trust that your way and will is perfect, and that you are working the right things in our hearts and lives as a result of trials and delays. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our hearts in such a way that we would have a joyful relationship with you and a joyful testimony before others. And may you open doors of opportunity to witness to the lost, to share with them what you are doing in our hearts and what a joy it is to know you and to experience your salvation and your grace every day. I pray that you would do that work in our hearts for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.